Hey, y'all. Welcome back to A Racist 8. It's your boy, Matty K, here. Recording from the bunker in quarantine from the fucking coronavirus. My main man, Mikey Two Names, is back with me. And we have one of our favorite guests, the one and only Whiskey Pryors. What's up, brother?
Favorite. Strong word.
Well, I said doing one well. Of. I said one of.
We're in a different FEMA region. You two get to share a camp together.
Oh, God.
I, on the other hand, yeah.
Well, where are you at now, man? Are you at the home base, or are you out somewhere across the states?
Oh, no. I'm home base.
There you go. Well, at least you're not stuck overseas. My mother and father-in-law are stuck in Brazil, and they can't get back.
So oh, fuck.
They're like, yeah, I know. They're like, what do we do? Like, guys, I don't know, man. I think I have to figure that one out.
Stay out of the favelas. You'll be all right.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, they had to cancel their trip to Italy. That was in 3 weeks. So,
sucks, man. Yeah, one of my coworkers was going to Italy like in a week or two. She ain't going no more.
Yeah.
But what's funny with all this bullshit going down, right? So, I was talking to a former coworker who lives outside Milan, and I asked her if they were on lockdown like a week ago when they were supposed to be on lockdown. She was like, no, we're fine.
Yeah, I'm interested in how that took place over there, because Italy and Iran, those two cultures, have had the absolute worst, you know, what, the highest death rate. But
allegedly,
I don't know much about Iran's culture. Yeah, allegedly, right? No one really knows about China. But I know, like, you know, Italy's culture is so social. I mean, you can see it spreading over there because of just the social, you know, dynamics of that country. But I don't know why Iran's would spread so fast. Maybe just the lack and the ability to, you know, to stop it. But
you mean they just throw sick people off?
Goddamn.
I say, I mean, gay. Yeah.
I have little memes about, like, North Korea's, what do you call it? Infection rate's like one, then it goes to zero.
Yes. It's so good.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how for us, Matt? What's on for today?
Yeah, so what I've got here is, in the wake of all this, and, you know, I just came back from, how did you describe it, Mr. Pryors? Did you describe New Orleans, Louisiana, as the epicenter of the Louisiana outbreak of the coronavirus?
That, and you said it.
I said it.
yeah, at least from what I've been told, it's, in fact, a lot of the cases from surrounding areas all the way up as far as Memphis can be tracked back to Mardi Gras.
Yeah. Well, it was Mardi Gras.
2 week festival. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was here, and it just took that long to actually, you know, manifest. So I don't know. You were there for this. This was St. Patty's Day.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all canceled.
The lead up to it.
Yeah. All that shit was canceled, though. But there were still a bunch of drunken fucking college kids on the fucking street. So I don't know if I got the current virus that's going around, but I probably got something.
Damn it, dude. You fist bumped me and pet my dog today.
I've washed my hands like 87,000 times since I've seen you, or since I was there.
Dude, no wonder she's so sleepy.
I know. She's all infected now.
It doesn't go to dogs. I saw that on Twitter too.
Allegedly.
Because that's what people gave a shit about.
Damn. How I mean, other than crashing your New Orleans trip, has it affected your life in any other way there, Maddie?
Other than the fact that I can't see any fucking customers. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, all of my accounts have pretty much closed up shop. Everybody's working from home. We've restricted all traffic, domestic and foreign, which is pretty shitty. I mean, you've seen oil tank. What are we at now? $24 a barrel?
Yeah, something like that. I don't
Is it that it low?
To. Oh, yeah, dude. It was like 20 bad today before it bounced.
Oh, my God.
But it was just dead cat bounce. It'll drop again tomorrow. Just wait.
I don't know how it can't go that low.
It did.
It can't stay there. It's not going to that.
You
that
say that.
It's not going to stay.
People are calling for oil. People are calling $10 oil.
Yeah, no whiskey. If you don't get them damn planes in the air, bro.
I know. You got to spray. You got to start spraying.
Oh, God.
It's dumping fuel over schools.
that's Delta, and they just shut down half of their crap.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I don't. I have my accounts dropping their capex, you know, across, you know, North America being cut, you know, and, you know, more than half, 60-70% capex cuts, and these are all, you know, mainly surface oriented play, show oriented play, operators and. Man, and you saw the rifts today. Halliburton, what, furloughed 3,500. Weir's pretty much shutting their doors. A lot of the big operators are laying every rig down, every frac fleet. They're only keeping up, like, you know, one or two rigs for, you know, to fulfill their lease obligations. Because you know how that is, Matt. If you don't,
well, if you
don't
on
drill
the,
at least
on the public
well,
stuff, if you don't, if you don't operate, or if you don't produce it, you lose it. So you got to keep going.
So other than that, man, it is, dude, this sucker is, at least on the oil and gas side, on my side of town, dude, it is, this sucker is done, man. It's closed in shop. Our stock tanked like 60%. I know most people's have. And I know you're right behind us too, Pryor's, right? I mean, the airlines, y'all are doing the same. Y'all are seeing the same type of slowdown.
We are not.
Just say yes.
Oh, sorry. Commercial. Commercial. I apologize.
Some are, some aren't. I mean, like all the passenger guys are taking it like right in the ass. Like they're all cutting anywhere between 50% and 80% of their flying. Because I mean, no one's going fly right now, you know. But they're still apparently the cargo outfits are all still running max loads because it makes sense that you know you're not going to go see your grandma, but you'll send her something. And there's how many months worth of China being shut down or at least, you know, paused is ready to be shipped right now. So it's still going on. And I think they just said, hey, Chinese people, either you're going back to work and I don't care if it kills you. We're gonna pretend like we solved the crisis and you're all going to go to work or you get shot.
Hey, as long as they restock my cheap shit at Walmart, man.
Yeah, right.
So, at any rate, yeah, why I asked Mr. Pryor's to come on the program, if you will, was in the wake of this pandemic, as the kids are calling it, we're seeing calls for the general government to step in and do more than just recommending maximum crowd size and recommending closing businesses. We're seeing calls to have them actually step in and shut shit down. We're also seeing cities and municipalities and counties actually do that and shut businesses and bars and restaurants and movie theaters and shit like that down and limit gatherings in public spaces. So when I'm trying to wrap my head around this and Whiskey, you and I were talking a little bit before we started recording, and I know one of our favorite podcasters, I'm not going to say his name because I'm going to fucking butcher what he said because I only half listened to it, but he was alluding to the fact that in his estimation, the general government does not have the authority to do anything at the state and local level as far as, you know, shutting gatherings down is concerned, but he did, the way I heard him, insinuate that he thought state and local governments did have such authority. So I know you and I don't necessarily agree with that. So I just want to get your thought on where that might come from. And I mean, with the laws on the books, do state and local governments have that authority?
I would assume that they have the authority to do whatever they want because they're doing it. Now, should they, and under what we consider a free society? No, I don't think so. But I would say if we're playing this game, it's more like a who's more justified killing the First Amendment.
Who's more justified killing the First Amendment?
Right, exactly. If we're playing a game show.
Yeah.
Right now it's the federal government doing it. And I think they're doing it through their state and municipal proxies, right?
Sure.
I mean, the whole idea of freedom of association is it was just given up without a fight.
Yeah. No.
Everybody
you're
said,
right.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. We'll do that. And I think they just hinted that we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as people say, no, I'm not doing that, they very slowly kind of ratchet it ratchet it down to see how far they can go before someone actually says anything. And the problem is most people just say, well, he should have just behaved himself, which is the problem we run into with pretty much every law or act that the government does, that is everyone says, well, yeah, of course the government's going to do that. If you just behave yourself, you wouldn't have to deal with it.
Which is bullshit on its face.
Which is, yeah. Yeah. You don't have anything to hide. Why don't you let the cops search your car?
You know, I did see, I guess this may be Miami Beach, something like that, somewhere in Florida. You know, it's a good Florida man story in the making, but I guess they had banned, you know, there was some curfew or some bullshit like that for the beach, and it was still light out, so I don't know if it was like 6, 7, 8 o'clock or whatever the curfew was, but cops show up in force, and of course people are not dispersing quite as fast as the cops would like them to, so they start putting fucking hands on people, and it was just like, and they had fucking the paintball, like tear gas guns, and just like, it's fucking wild. You know what I mean? Like, this is... It's like another
That's
country.
The opposite, like,
it's like we're in fucking China.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're a cop and you want to like get someone to disperse, but you don't want to catch the coronavirus, like, why are you putting hands on people?
Oh, they were putting hands on fucking people, dude. Which again, like, that's to your point, right? It tells me like none of this is about preventing the spread of the coronavirus. It's all about forcing compliance and control by the populace.
Well, you know, before I shut down, I took Twitter off of my phone. And I took Facebook off of my phone because I'm, as far as media is concerned, I'm a true blue addict. Like, you know, I'm looking at all the memes of people saying, look at all these idiots on their phone. And I'm like, yeah, look at all these idiots on their phone here. Let
me, are you saying you couldn't do like me and you didn't have the willpower to have it on your phone and just not look at it for 3 weeks?
Nope, can't do that. If it's there, and look, when I deleted it, I immediately recognize how many times I pick up my phone just to look.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fucking disease, man.
But in the middle of all that, I noticed, I'm sorry, right before I shut it down, I had if a celebrity did it, it would be called a tweet storm.
Mm.
But like I was basically live tweeting the coronavirus there. I said it, conference that Trump had with all the the CEOs of Walgreens and CVS.
Oh, I only saw the tweet that you sent me. That was the only tweet that I saw. Just the one that you DM'd me.
It's ironic that the CVS guy happens to be the shortest one there.
That's why his receipts are so long, man. He's got, you know, length envy. it's like the bald guy with a fucking C7 Corvette.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you know, during all that, you know, I've gotten into listening to old Monica Perez about all this, because she seems to be the only one that does every day she has something about the coronavirus.
Just so you can learn more about chemtrails and how they're
running. Yes, and it completely ruins credibility. I still like her, but I can't do the chemtrail thing.
Maybe we can follow up with a chemtrail episode. Should we call pause?
Miss me with that shit.
We can finish on this, and then we can delve into that.
Jesus.
No, you know, listening to her read this, basically read verbatim the event 201.
Oh, dude, it's eerie.
It tracks almost exactly the event 201's literature, the call to action, and I heard her for 2 weeks talk about event 201 and how you were going to hear the words public private partnership, and like. If I had been playing a drinking game in watching this press conference, I might have died. Like, I might have fallen over dead. I just want y'all to know that it is almost definitely, certainly not techno-fascism. Like, everybody chill out. It's gonna be fine.
Everything's gonna be fine. This is fine. This is totally fine. But no, I remember my train of thought now. I mean, the thing is, the people that write the talking points for every party, every organization, the people that come up with that sit in think tanks and you know, release papers on this type of shit are the same people who sat and participated in fucking Event 201. So of course they're going to have the same language. Right? And I'm not saying you're wrong about that. I'm saying that's why. Like, it's all interconnected. Like, that is the public-private partnership that they're talking about. It's like them. Like, it's from the top down, man. It's all of it.
Yeah, you know, what's amazing though is this the whole Event 201 simulation took place 1 month before this kicked off. And it's like, how,
you know,
I don't know how no one else saw it or sees it.
As soon as I heard her say that, and I think her show is probably the first place that I heard about Event 201. As soon as I heard about that, I just like threw my hands up and went, of course, because I mean, you know, Texas Tsunami, our friend on the other side of the Hemis Plain, he and I, you know, kind of get off down some interesting rabbit holes on some conspiracies and whatnot. And it seems like, you know, whenever you have some sort of like false flag type attempt or a mass shooting or some terrorist event, there's always some governmental event taking place. There's always some training simulation, quote unquote, right? Just like Event 201.
Right,
yeah. It's like same city, same event complex, you know, and then something breaks out and hits the news. And well, same thing with this. Like, yeah, they had a training event or a simulation, right? On paper, in a room, conference room simulation. And then a month later, it fucking happens. Like, you can't make it up. You can't write it any better than that.
No, yeah, it's like every time there's a mass shooting, there's also a big live fire exercise going on at the same time next door. Like, yeah.
And so here news we reports are of in people the, in fatigues in the woods outside buildings that just vanishes from the media. But I didn't say that.
Well, and here we are in the lamest of all the oogaloos, the flugaloo.
Yeah,
and nothing's going on. Everybody just kind of gives up their shit. Like no one seems to really push back. And what's really crazy to me is I haven't met anybody that's actually freaking out.
No, I haven't been freaking out like the entire time. Now we have been buying shit because I live in a house full of women. And they, you know, even though they say they're not scared, they are a little bit scared, I think. Heard it here first. But we didn't buy out the store of toilet paper. You know what I mean? We always, cause we, I mean, you're the same way. And Mikey, you're the same way too. Like we all grew up in like hurricane country, right? So
yeah,
summer's coming. What do you keep? You keep rice, you keep water, canned foods, beans. Got some SpaghettiOs, you got beans, you know, to get you through if the power goes out for like 2 weeks. Right. So we always have shit like that anyway. We're not like super preppers, but we're ready for the season. And this is just kind of happening around the time that we were going to start rebuying shit anyway. So we've got 50 pounds of sugar and 50 pounds of rice or 100 pounds of rice. And, you know, we got powdered milk and just random shit like that we're going to need anyway. So, you know, yeah, you cull through the pantry and you buy what you need and you use what's about to go bad. And it's a normal shit. But, yeah, there's a lot of panic out there now. Sorry, I rambled for half a second.
No, you're good. I'm just happy that all the stores, at least here in Texas, I know have a no buyback policy. So all those assholes that bought 10 years of toilet paper, they're gonna have to use that shit over a period of time. Dude, it's the soccer moms, man. On Monday, totally. I was going to meet with a client, and then they called me. They said, "Hey, we got to shut down our office for a few weeks." I was like, "Hell," I was like, "Well, I'll just go to the grocery store." It was like 7:30 in the morning, and man, when I walked in, I started, you know, I just was going regular grocery shopping. I haven't gone in a few weeks, and there was multiple moms with their three or four kids with them, and every kid had a basket. And I went to the meat section. They had just put out all the steaks and chicken. You know, I'm just kind of picking what I want to grill for me and the wife over the next few weeks. And, dude, these moms were loading up 30, 40, 50 pounds of the chicken, of the ground beef. God. They were just taking everything out. They would load up one kid's cart and have the other kid come up. They would load up more meat and chicken. And I wanted to, you know, knock them out. But
that's why we couldn't get any good chicken yesterday. Because we, you know, it's a virus. Yep. So we're trying to pump the kids and ourselves up with some good antiviral, natural, home remedies, right? Like, so we did 40 cloves and a chicken. You guys ever done that?
No, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. So you break apart a chicken, put in like a Le Creuset pot, you know, or like a Dutch oven if you got it, and 40 cloves of garlic. We put some oregano in there. Oh. Yeah, and just like cook the shit down, right? And it's fucking delicious. But yeah, we couldn't get like a fryer. You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't get like a good chicken, mm-hmm. a good whole chicken. We had to get like, just like a straight up regular barnyard hen. And it was kind of tough. It was good. Chicken's chicken, right? But it wasn't like the same quality that you could get because everybody else bought the good shit.
Damn. I got to come to your house. I've been making grilled cheeses for the wife every night. We're pretty low key over here.
That's what my son makes for himself.
You're going to die of a heart attack before the damn virus is gone.
I know. And I only make him eat that because I'm trying to make him gain some weight. He's Mikey's height, but he weighs like 110 pounds.
I know, dude. He's almost bigger than me or taller. We're the same height. Oh, shit. Yeah, though, but the freaking, my wife, I made her, like I said, I legit did make her a sandwich.
Classic.
Before she went to work, while I stayed home and played video games. And yeah, dude, she's, it sucks for us because we're, what, 23 weeks pregnant?
Yeah.
And she works at one of the big Houston, you know, mega center hospitals down here. And she does med surge. So it kind of sucks, you know, because we're halfway through our pregnancy and they keep giving her all these patients that are coming in freaking out thinking they have the CV-19. And then, you know, she doesn't really, she'll turn them down. And then it's been a big fight with her and the you know, her staff at the hospital. And then she said she's like, we have nothing. They don't have masks. They don't even have the sanitation equipment and supplies. She said, because all the people that they usually, you know, order all their equipment through has been bought up by just, you know, your soccer moms.
Right, right. Yeah, it's fucking lame, so, man.
They have patients with, like, because she said they have patients with TB, with highly infectious, you know, diseases that they can't even go in the rooms. She was like, we're just putting them in, you know, putting them in those negative pressure rooms and trying to visit them as, you know, as little as possible so that way we don't use up all the masks.
Right, right. That's fucking wild, man. So what's her take on this? I mean, she's a medical healthcare professional. What does she say about all this?
You should hear my mom. So my mom's also one, right? At right. another major hospital in Houston. And she got back from a cruise on last Sunday. And when she tried to go to work, this was 2 Sundays ago. When she showed up to go to work, she was there for about 3 hours. And they're like, oh, you just got back from a cruise? She was like, yeah. And they're like, nope, you're on self-quarantine.
Quarantine, bitch.
18 days or whatnot. At least it's paid, so she's happy about that.
Yeah.
But she's lit about it. She's more lit. None of the nurses, doctors are, I guess, I mean, these aren't infectious disease, viral, you know, doctors, right? I mean, this is just your everyday doctors. But, I mean, her and her colleagues are mainly just flipped out by the sheer panic of everybody, you know, the general public and the general just fear-mongering that the media is doing. My wife, who comes from pretty much a socialist country, is, you know, Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, man, she's like, I know we had fear-mongering media in Brazil. She's like, but dear God, y'all kicks our media's ass. And she's like, we all know our media is a government, you know, socialist toy. She was like, they're fear-mongering people to the point where they have people just bum-rushing the hospital thinking they have it when they have the damn, you know, when they have just sinuses because it's Texas mm-hmm. and it's, you know, it's March. But their whole thing is they just want to – if we treated it like – if we had the mentality that it was the flu, she said everything would be fine. Of course, we need to be very cautious. We need to be, you know, more cognizant of what we're doing and just – of course, take those extra precautions and take those extra measures and, you know, see people less and don't go out and, you know, don't be partying in clubs. I mean, do everything people that, you know, that the CDC is saying to do, but not to this extreme.
Don't take trips to New Orleans, to the epicenter of the Cajun country outbreak.
Which is where she wants to go on Saturday. She's sad that we can't go now.
Well, I went. So I went for y'all. It's fine.
But I mean, I think if you talk to any doctors or nurses, which I have a lot of my family, I mean, everyone's you know, mindset's the same. It's just they wish that it's just I stupid to even say that. They just wish people wouldn't freaking panic and just use common sense. They're like, if people didn't panic and use common sense, everything would be fine right now.
Yeah.
Well, so originally I would have said that the panic, and I still think now, like, the panic is the point of this mm-hmm. whole thing, right? Because it isn't like they showed us video of Chinese people with blood shooting out of their eyes, and then, you know, they do like a 360 death spiral, and everyone that gets blood on them also immediately starts shooting blood out of their eyes.
Would have been like a lot more awesome.
Right? It would have been so much better because
if we could get like a death blossom to go along with the coronavirus, I'm fucking in.
And I guess the thing that just blows my mind is we didn't see bodies, right? Like back in the day when you had pandemics, you saw the bodies piled up, you know what I mean? Like the mass graves or in the streets. And there was just really none of that. I mean, dude, at the end of the day, it's absolutely fucking horrid. It's so sad that people are dying. I don't want that upon
anyone. Yeah, it's terrible. But the other thing is, like, it's, you know, what I've noticed is I try, like, I'm concerned. I'm not worried, right? I'm just trying to keep an eye on things to make sure that everybody stays safe, right? When I'm reading these stories about people who are dying, I find it very curious that they do not release any details about these people. It's very rare that someone lets something slip. And it's usually a politician, not a health official, in a press conference. And it never winds up in a report. So I've read a lot of reports about this, a lot of articles, and they'll just say, oh, another person died in Kentucky or whatever, right? Like Kentucky's had two people die. That's closer to whiskey than we are.
Or they'll say they recovered, but they won't tell you who or when or where.
Right.
They don't even have to say who.
Well, and the thing is, so the last guy who died, like the second death in Kentucky, right, was like a fucking 90-year-old person who also had tuberculosis, I think, and maybe was like cancerous. And so it's like, well, how many fucking comorbidities does this motherfucker have? And did this even play a role, or did he just happen to test positive for it? Was he even sick? He was just in the hospital for something else. And it's like, oh, he died. We'll just test him. Right. It's like some of the reports you heard coming out when they were like inflating the numbers in China, where they were like, they weren't even testing people for the virus. They didn't have any tests. They were just saying, oh, well, do you have a cough? Yes. Are you sniffly? Yes. Do you have a fever? Yes. Okay. Well, you have coronavirus. Like, okay, well, okay. Do I, how does anybody know? Do I actually have that?
And it went the other way around over here.
Right.
They're just, all they're reporting now is, so if you have an 8% death rate in Italy, I have to think that you're not actually getting an 8% death rate. You know, you know what I mean?
Fuck no.
Like the number of people that had it and didn't really know, or just had a sniffle, had a cold or whatever, that ended up killing their lifelong smoker, 80-year-old grandfather, because they walk in and kiss each other on the cheek and they have dinner together. That's more likely than not. And I think that's what we're seeing here too. They keep throwing out this 2.5 to 3% number you see everywhere, because they know that everybody on the planet has already Googled the Spanish flu death rate, and it's exactly the same number.
Right.
And but so it's only people that were tested. That I wish they would at least say that, right? That's what's driving my wife crazy.
That's like, the thing. Once it winds up.
But we're only testing people that are fucking sick as balls and that have all the symptoms, and they're all old as shit.
Once it winds up in a stat, especially a government stat, that number never changes. That's etched in history forever.
So taking this back to that topic that you were talking about, I think that's why I said I think the panic is the point of the whole thing, right? Because when I don't see anyone freaking out, people went and bought toilet paper for whatever stupid reason. Like y'all said, they were worried they had four kids at home and they were all going to shit their way through the house. I don't know. But
different virus.
Just the perception of panic. Not even actual panic. Like actual panic looks like riot gear and pepper balls, right? And then sound cannons and water cannons. That's what my wife used to call me
in college.
Pepper balls.
Pepper balls, yeah, and sound cannon.
But that's what real panic looks like. Real panic doesn't.
Oh, trust
look
me,
like...
that is what real panic looked like.
But.
Sorry, I derailed it. I derailed my own show. God damn it!
You're not supposed to dip them in the crawfish pot.
Oh, party trick!
I'm gonna dip my balls in it. So,
what are we talking about?
what we're talking about is that no one's actually panicking. Everyone's going along with whatever everybody says to do,
right.
Or they're not. You take that risk upon yourself to get sick or not.
Yeah.
But they're using this perceived panic. The fact that you turn on the news every 5 minutes and they say people are panicking, and you kind of look around, and you're like, nobody's panicking around
Anybody
my
panicking?
House.
Yeah.
Nobody's panicking, but they're using the perceived panic to do really big sweeping things that they've always wanted to do.
Right. And so that brings me to my question, right? It's like, I don't know how to frame it. I'm just going to say it like this. Is that a legitimate authority of the state and local governments? And I don't mean like in the Larkin Rose legitimate authority sense. I mean, is that something legally that the state and local quote unquote authorities have a right to do, have the power to do? Because I think there was Mikey, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you saw this or not. I think it might've been Fort Bend County. I think, because there has been no announcement here about, you know, curfews or shutting things down. It's just kind of been recommendations. And they're kind of following the lead of what Harris County and Houston does anyway. But I think it was Fort Bend County that said, they asked the AG, the state AG, do we actually have the power to do this? They were like, they stopped and said, because everybody was like, hey, you got to like shut all this shit down. And they went, whoa, pump the brakes. Like, can we even do that? Like they didn't even know. And they had to ask the state for guidance.
Oh, so, and there's bars and restaurants. I don't know if you heard about that. They ignored it. And people I saw on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Off. You need to report. I saw some fucking bootlickers on my Facebook page. They're like, you need to drive around and report all the bars and restaurants, you know, in our town that aren't closing and abiding by. I was like, oh, my God.
They need to do me a favor and start sucking my dick.
Just fucking kills me. But just so you know, like, where they derive this from is from here. Federal isolation and quarantine are authorized by executive order of the president. The president can revise this order at any time. Here, and it also says, let's see, where's the federal government derives its authority for isolation and quarantine from the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution.
Oh, son of a bitch. Yeah, the Commerce Clause is like the most ill-interpreted clause of the Constitution.
On purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Purposely written to be vague and purposely misinterpreted.
Yeah, and that was written, I guess, to represent the CDC under it was put in place under Obama right under his way out. It says February of 2017.
Classic. So I guess we're just stuck with it then, right? I mean, I'm still like, look, I'm not necessarily actually quarantining myself. I mean, I try and work during the day for the most part, and we're banned at work from seeing customers. Like our company said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to have face-to-face visits. We're going to try and be healthy. So I'm stuck in the house anyway. And then after 4 or 5 o'clock, like then I got kids to try and help wrangle and eat and all that shit. So I'm in the house. Right. But I'm not necessarily like going to stay here. I just have shit to do during the day. Like I'm down to go hang out and hit up a bar. Like I tweeted something earlier today, like maybe a couple hours ago about, hey, let's have a fucking COVID-19 West Houston meetup, you know? Like, fuck it. I don't give a fuck. Let's find an open bar.
Yeah, I've been going about my life. I have changed absolutely nothing about my life or lifestyle or what I've been doing other than the amount of bars and restaurants I can go to is limited and my gym shut down, which sucks.
Yeah, they closed my gym, man.
I mean, I'm trying to be smarter, right? I'm not getting near people. I'm trying to, you know, be more sanitary and wash my hands. I'm doing all the things they said they're going to do, but I'm not going to not live my damn life.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's the best way to go about it. Change your risky behavior, but don't change your life. It's like if the sun all of a sudden starts beating like 20 degrees hotter, right? It's like, okay, well maybe we should like carry an umbrella with us in case we have to step outside the car, but like, don't just freak out and stay inside and say, we're all going to die. You know, just be careful. It's fine.
But I don't, that's what I'm saying. Don't lick doorknobs.
I think it's different here. I think we got, I was like Monday morning, kind of what Pryor was going to talk about, is, you know, like Monday morning, I saw like the before and after photos. It was rush hour of LA, rush hour of San Francisco, rush hour of New York. And it was just like the before street, right? The highways and after. And Monday morning, like they were just empty and desolate. And I was like, oh, fuck, dude. Houston's going to be empty today. I got on the highway. It was normal traffic here.
Yeah.
Like, I think people here are a little bit more independent and they're reacting a lot more differently than people are on the coastline.
Right.
Also, I have a lot of friends and family who are road pirates, as y'all would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, I was like, so what about all this martial law and shit? Are y'all going to enforce these? They just laughed. They're like, fuck no. They're like, what, you think HPD with its 3,000 cops is going to tell the 12 million people in the greater Houston area, they can't do what the fuck they want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
He was like, nah. He's like, we're all gonna get. He was like, we're all gonna get killed. He's like, fuck no. He's like, we're just gonna let them do what the fuck they want. He's like, we're just gonna sit in the office.
You know, which is like the good thing about this is, and it's not really happening here. And I'm not saying everything is good because some people that I don't want to catch flack for this, but whatever. Some people who need to be, there needs to be some consequence for what they do are not ended up in jail along with people who do not belong in jail. Like, is it in Philly? Is that right? Where like they're not arresting hardly anyone. Which is, I mean, if that's what shakes out of this, it's great. And I forget who said it the other day, but it's like with all this like deregulation and stuff like that, and they're freeing people up to do things and lack of policing. It's like, okay, if we can lessen these restrictions and regulations to help people out, do we even need those restrictions and regulations put in place in the first place? Like, can we just get rid of those and not bring them back?
Oh, like the corporate tax and payroll tax,
like any of that shit.
Help people out.
Yeah, well, just like with the FDA approval on the virus testing kits, right? It's like we have was it testing kits or was it something else? I forget what it was. Something related to the virus, whether it's a testing kit or a vaccine or whatever. And it's like, hey, it would take 5 years to run this through FDA, but we're gonna go ahead and let you do it. It's like, yeah, that's the way it should be, right? And if it like kills a dude, then that company pays restitution to the family. And then you just don't use that company anymore because they fucking lied to you and they hurt people. Like, that's how the free market works.
Yeah, and it should be. Hey, guess what? You create the vaccine, you're going to get fucking paid. That's the way it should be. You take, the risk, the reward, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you had, Bernie Sanders yesterday going, whoever finds the vaccine, it needs to be, that immediately needs to be seized. All of the studies and the research and the vaccines need to be seized by the government and there will be no profiteering off of this. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, it's fucking lame.
Makes sense to like a 12-year-old dude. That guy is. But I don't know. Yeah, you're right. As soon as like they get rid of regulations, all of a sudden people are able to start doing shit quicker and more efficiently. And
so yeah, even right now you can go online and you can do an online consult of a doctor in another state that you weren't legally able to do before. Right.
Right.
They're removing barriers right now, and no one that at least not in any kind of member is saying, if this stuff is good now, how great would it have been when the economy was supposedly roaring, right? When everything was going well, why do we have these artificial restrictions on? And I don't see it enough, right? Yes, that is the positive part of all this, is that there are people seeing that, hey, this stuff doesn't need to be in place. We don't need to artificially restrict ourselves from whatever. I should be able to buy insurance from somebody in any state I care to.
Absolutely.
Or any country I care to be. Absolutely. Quite honest, as long as I took the risk to say that I think that company will pay out whenever I get in a wreck or
even
whatever,
from your
whatever.
Fucking neighbor, if your neighbor's wealthy and says, hey man, just cut me a check for $100 a month and I'll take care of you if something happens. Like, okay, right. Cool, whatever, fuck, whatever, that's fine. If it's in a contract, yeah. It's two people agreeing to pay for something, whatever. Like, he offered a service, you paid for it. Who fucking cares? Why does the government need to get involved?
Just like they're able to unilaterally shut this thing down, mm-hmm. by suggesting that they're going to, but and people just back off, right? They're also going to unilaterally turn back around and say, okay, well, all these restrictions are back in place because everything's back to normal.
Right.
It's a new normal, and we took more liberty in one way or another from you, but it's back to normal and everybody chill out.
My concern is how bad does it get once it all snaps back? What do they add? Because it's not just going to go back to normal. It's going to go back to normal plus.
No, it's what are they adding right now?
Right.
And that's what scares me about the whole thing. Only if Obama was in office or if Hillary was in office right now, you would have the Kurt Schlichters of the world, mm-hmm. and the righties of the world, the Trump hats of the world, screaming, mm-hmm. about what he's doing. But because it's him, they're championing. They're like, what are y'all going to do with your Trump checks?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so like, bad.
It's like, y'all, you don't understand. Like, if you don't go buy silver and gold coins with that $2,000 they send you, it's going to be wiped out as soon as everything gets cranked up again. Like, buy something. I'm not a Bitcoin person, so Rollo can critique
me
all he wants.
It's a good time to buy right now.
Nope. Not going to do it.
Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
Pay off your debt.
Yeah.
Or don't, like, buy something that's going to be good.
I'm going to buy dangerous stocks. Like, mm-hmm. if I actually that's get a you. Check, I'm going to go pick some risky fucking stocks that I think are bad buys but could blow up and just see what happens.
Chesapeake Energy, baby. You know how many shares you can get for $1,000?
Bro, it's at 18 cents now, dude. It's insane.
And they're still paying a dividend, dude. They're still paying like a 9-cent dividend.
Dude, fucking Oxy's paying like a 30 or a 24% dividend.
Oh, yes.
From like $70 to $9, yeah. I'm going to get some risky fucking stocks.
But you're right. I mean, like, if that check comes out, like, yeah, like, I'm buying level 4 plates and a plate carrier, or I'm buying silver and gold or another gun or bullets or whatever. You know, it's...
Refinance your house.
Yeah, that too.
Interest rates stay at zero.
Absolutely. You know, we actually have considered doing that.
Get a 1.8 interest rate on your house.
We actually considered doing that. We were pretty low before, but, I mean, it's going to be even lower now.
Go buy that Mustang.
Yes, I'm going to buy a Raptor. I'm going to buy a Raptor. A used one. You know how cheap you can probably get them now? Give it a couple more weeks, dude. Wait for the layoffs to hit.
They're probably gonna be more fucking expensive, bro, because the gas is going to be like 80 cents. You can get the excursions are probably going to come back.
Hell yeah.
They're going to come back. You're going to be able to afford whatever you want. I have a dumb question. Why do y'all think, like, and this is me, like, a serious question, actually, because I was actually curious, because people... You know, the dumbs on the interwebs were making, you know, the Trump screamers were screaming about why was no one freaking out at this level. And was it, I guess, 2009 when we had whatever it was it H1N1
mm-hmm.
or we had that huge virus hit? Which one was it? The one that hit and it killed like 20,000 Americans.
It was H1N1.
Like, it was.
Yeah.
Why do y'all think that? Like, seriously, y'all think that's just a stretch? And that's me. I was like in high school at that time.
Honestly, I don't know because I didn't pay attention to it other than just like, you know, checking Drudge Report at the time. I bet. Oh, Whiskey Players has a comment.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Like, lay it on us. Because this new novel coronavirus came from someone either eating a pangolin or a bat or whatever.
That's
the hell
false.
It is.
That's false, though.
Well, assuming that it came, it didn't come. It's not a human based virus, right? It's an animal based virus that jumped.
Maybe
right. It might also come from the same lab in Canada where Ronald Reagan made.
And some HIV. Of those, yeah, and some of those scientists that worked at the lab may or may not have been on that flight that got shut down in Iran. But whatever, you know, who's it? We're just spitballing here. Is it though?
Assuming that it is just an animal-based virus that jumped humans. H1N1 was a flu, was a human flu, which is why it was they were freaking out about that. This thing, they don't have a way to treat it because it's not a human-based virus. It's gonna run its course, and there's nothing they can do about it. And from what I'm reading, these things definitely mutate after a certain mm-hmm. amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
They mutate very fast. And most of the time, if it wasn't based in humans, it will mutate to a place where humans don't have to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just going to go away. And we're all going to wonder why we were freaking out about it so much.
Yeah. Well, and so the good thing with it is, and you know, I'm not a virologist, but I certainly play one in the bedroom. The good thing about the coronavirus and the family known as coronavirus is that it's got this, like, you know, lipid shell that the virus itself lives in, right? Which it's intended to protect it, but it's really, really easy to penetrate that with Clorox or Lysol or some other, like, soap, you know? So
alcohol.
Alcohol. So whatever will break down that thin fat layer that it's living inside, you just fucking kill it. It's super fragile, and it's not well protected in any of the coronaviruses. So you just, you know, you follow normal sanitation procedures. Wash your hands. Fucking don't open doors with your mouth. Don't lick people's shoes. You'd be fine. Don't go to Bourbon Street on St. Patty's Day weekend.
Yeah, no shit.
Sorry.
The U.S. is gonna have an easier time, I think, than a lot of these places that live on top of each other. Like you're going to see San Francisco, LA, mm-hmm. New York, all the big cities have a problem with it. But like, I don't know about you, I never get within 6 feet of another person.
Not if like, I can help it.
Unless, yeah.
Unless we're about to.
This is on a normal. This is on a normal day.
Yeah.
I mean, in the U.S., like man law, if I go pee, and there's three urinals, there's a guy in the middle. There are none available to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's like, awesome. I don't even get close enough to people most of the time to deal with it. So, this social distancing crap and staying home. It's going to kill so many businesses, and the effect long term is going to be, and this is not from my brain. Listening to Monica Perez talk about this, she made a really good point about it, saying that the biggest companies are going to be the ones that brain drain the small companies,
mm-hmm.
right? If you were working for a smaller company and you're highly sought after, that company is going to not be able to pay you,
mm-hmm.
but the giant companies are going to be able to.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be the biggest transfer of like talent wealth that we've ever seen. And it's going to happen overnight.
Yeah, most likely. I can see that happening.
So you're going to see a lot. And then it's going to be a fire sale on smaller companies.
Absolutely.
That may or not have been competing in certain areas.
Yeah, right? Dude. M&A season is on. It's all about consolidation for the next quarter.
Oh, yeah.
And just in our industry, but it's going to trickle down to all other industries.
Well, it's also like a double whammy, man. It's almost like, it's almost like, I almost feel like Russia and Saudi Arabia like planned this shit. Good God. You want to talk about the most perfect timing?
Technically, they did.
Oh, really?
Well, at least the oil war part. I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Look, maybe Iran shot down the plane with the Canadian scientists. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there.
Oh, that's fun. How deep you want to go, Maddie?
We can go real deep, dude.
Now look, hey, you guys in Houston, like go to Topgolf tomorrow if it's open, and go to the top floor and play a little Topgolf together.
Not a bad idea.
And look up and down the oil field corridor there.
Oh yeah, they're all shut down, like, dude. They're gone. They're at home.
But take a picture of all those signs along that road, and then in 6 months,
half
go back, and I bet they're gone.
Yeah, well, it's going to be half.
Yep. There's going to be major acquisitions going on in bankruptcy.
Sure. Oh, it's already happening. Yeah, it's already happening by quite a few over here, like the mid majors. You know, like you got a lot of private equity companies they're so cash heavy, mm-hmm. and they have such a light payroll, they can just kind of shut down and hang out. But it's your mid majors, man, those mid cap companies that are just like fuck. And the problem is because they're all debt heavy.
Yep.
Because you know interest rates have been so low for so long that you were an idiot not to take out these free fucking loans to try to expand like madness. You know what I mean? And now so many companies aren't hedged too. Like I remember when we crashed back in 2014. A lot of companies were hedged at freaking like, you know, $60, $70 a barrel for like mm-hmm. a year or two, and everyone's fine. But now, like, no one's hedged. Or if they have like 40 or 50% of their production hedged.
A lot of them are still hedged around that $55, $60 range. But what you're starting to see now is the ones that are super heavily levered, they're selling their hedges. And those are the ones that are about to fucking tank because they're not going to have any money now. They're trying to service their debt. And the only way they can do that is by selling those plays that are super hedged, because someone's going to make money off of it. So they're selling that. That's their only money maker. They're trying to pay down their debt, and they're not going to be able to do it because they're not going to have any other production because it's all shut in. Yeah, they're fucked, man. It's not good.
Yeah, how many of these companies were taking loans from whatever giant bank could give it to them at almost zero and then buying back their own stock?
Well, that just came out too with the major airlines, right? All the major airlines on average, like 93% of their free cash flow was used for stock buybacks. So now they're stuck with no cash on hand and tanking stocks, no cash flow in, no customers, and they're fucked.
Well, United and Delta both have cash on hand.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Southwest does because they're not retarded. American, on the other hand, deep shit.
Yeah.
Major deep shit. Like,
yeah, they're
well, you know, that you may finally see the Spirits and the Frontiers merge or with the JetBlue or something mm-hmm. like that in throughout all this. Because, I mean, they're just waiting for a reason to do something like that because they're all in the same basic sector of the industry. But, like, I don't think the Deltas of the world, they have cash on hand. American doesn't. You're gonna see some bankruptcies. You're gonna see some completely falling aparts. You're gonna see. I mean, you're talking like American has 15,000 pilots, right?
Fuck.
Right. That's 15,000 people making a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the amount of people per pilot that it takes to run that place is god awful enormous. Right. Yeah. So the amount of people just going to be out of work in just the Dallas-Fort Worth area is going to be staggering. Absolutely staggering. And I don't know how they recover. But I do know that, getting back on point, that they did all these companies, like you were saying, bought their own stock with money loaned from you and me, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Which is why the Dow was at 30 anyway.
And yes. It's because and they're also going to turn around and say they need a bailout.
Right.
Right. It's not going to be banks the worst necessarily of both getting worlds. Bailed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're giving the banks free fucking money by cutting the interest rates. I mean, they really are only helping out the banks again. Dude, you know how much I could do if someone was like, hey, you can take out a loan for however much you want. You can pay it back whenever you want. Oh, and there's no interest rate.
Yeah, I'd buy stupid stock.
Wow, I'd be doing all kinds of fucked up shit. Like, trying to advance my position just like they do.
Risky buy a shit, dinosaur bro. Egg.
Buy a dinosaur egg. Open a theme park.
Y'all want an omelet?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's fucking crazy, man. Good Lord.
Well,
I just hope the stock market goes back up because I've been raped and like I got caught, man. I don't know if y'all got caught like I did.
No,
I got caught.
I told you, dude, you know when I got out.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were joking.
No, I was serious.
I didn't get out because it did that tank just like it did in 2018 and it rebounded like the exact same spot it did mm-hmm. in 2018. And I was like, oh, shit, we're doing the exact same thing again. I was like, this is like, I was like, this is fine. And then I went for work for like 2 or 3 days. I wasn't paying attention. And then that motherfucker tanked like, you know, 20%. I was like, well, in for the long road now. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you're at the bottom now, so you may as well just hang on tight. And well, just while we're talking about it, I mean, futures are down 4.5%. So,
already?
Yeah. So
when this all started, I told a couple of people, I was like, 11,000 is not unrealistic.
No, I don't think you're
right. And they were like, oh, they were like, oh, that's crazy talk. And I'm like, man, when you go back and look, if 2008 is when this started being more fake than it was before,
mm-hmm.
go back to the 2008 numbers.
Yeah. Dude, to get to 11, if you want to get to Dow 11, we're closer to Dow 11 than we are to where the Dow was when this started.
Yes.
Right? Like that's shocking to say that now compared to where we were December 31.
Dude, if we get 2,000 point drops every day,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. It sucks, man. Because you got people like me who've never been in a downturn, right?
Oh, Mikey, so this is like number three or 2.5, whatever.
But none like. It was like a real one, right? Like a legit one.
Yeah, I was in fucking 09, dude. It sucked. I was in 09, man. 09 was terrible.
See, I was in college in 09, so I didn't know what was going on. But, like, yeah, you
know, I was married and had two kids, dude.
Damn. Yeah, so for me, like, I didn't, like, now I'm just kind of like, fuck. It's like, well, I'm already in this because my luck, I get out, right, and the bitch rebounds, like, 6,000 fucking points. I'm like, god damn it. So it's just, I'm pretty good at trading stocks and stuff, but I'm not, this market, dude, I don't know. I legit don't know to the point where I'm just almost too worried to even pull it out. So I'm just like, fuck it. Just Mikey, let the bitch ride, just double down and keep buying.
You're so good at trading stocks that you still have a day job.
That's true. That is true.
I think the real story long term is
more risky.
I think the government is really surprised at what they're able to get away with without people pushing back.
No, I think you're right.
And they're going to be like, whoa, we should have done more.
Yeah, you know? They could have gotten away with a lot more, with a lot less pushback. than they expected. I mean, it could have been full on. Like, they could have instituted martial law. They could. They still could. And I mean, most people aren't. They're just going to lay down and say, "Fuck it, that's fine."
Well, we're not. We're still not quite. We're not quite at the peak of this thing for the U.S. In certain parts of the U.S., it's right. so big. You know? It's going to kind of roll like a wave from the coasts inward, I think, mm-hmm. toward wherever it stops. But we're not completely finished with this yet. So they're going to be able to find horror stories from different places, and most of them are going to be people who are already immunocompromised mm-hmm. or old or whatever. You notice ever since that Chinese doctor died, that was like my age, I was 35. Yeah. We haven't seen anyone else that was that age that popped, at least nothing. No one prominently.
Right, right.
It's always.
Well, and even like.
And like you.
There was one of the guys on the cruise, right? The Diamond Princess or whatever, that's like a journalist. And he's like, "Fuck, I've got it. This is what it's like to have it." And he's like, "I feel fine, you know? Like, yeah, I had a few bad days. I was in the hospital, but like, you know, I'm still here, but it's fine. Like, I'm just sick." And he's older. He's like in his 40s or 50s. He should be approaching that group that he should be worried about this, and he's okay.
I think it's the pneumonia that kills you. If you get the bacterial pneumonia, secondary infection.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's what ends up killing you. And most people don't get that.
Yeah. Well, that's how the flu gets you. That's how colds get you. You know, you're just 90 and you have a cold and you get fucking pneumonia and you're in the hospital.
Right. That's why I think the number of people who have actually had the damn thing is way higher than they ever imagined. Or that they're posting.
Well, like everything else.
We just don't have the testing.
We're all going to get it. Everyone's going to have it. It's just that the vast majority of people are going to be asymptomatic. But again, I'm not a virologist.
To answer your question.
Yeah, answer my fucking question.
I don't know. I think their answer, if you want to zoom out, the answer is yes, they can get away with it because we let them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the answer, because we haven't, I mean, we quit following the Constitution in 1790.
Yeah.
70, yeah. You know,
whenever the Judicial Act was.
After it was.
Yeah. Almost as soon as it was signed and inked and dry, it was, yeah, we fucking threw that bitch in the fucking fire.
Yeah.
As if it was good for anything anyway.
And it's only gotten worse ever since. So it's like it is whatever they can get away with, they can do. And they're going to continue doing it until someone stands up and says no. And no one's going to do that.
Sure. Well, is that it, guys? You guys got anything else?
No, I'm just sad. How was my 401k today? I'm sad.
You were very sad when
dumb.
I saw you.
Why
today.
Are you looking at your 401k?
I don't. I pulled everything out. I just watched the market.
Yeah. Well, I got a lot for, unlike most of my people that are 30 like me, I fucking was putting in like 30% of my income, and I was maxing out 401, then maxing out Roth, and then fucking going after tax for like six years I've been working. So I've really
been
working
able to
hard
do that
at it.
I have kids. I have kids and bills.
Well, that's my other problem. See, I have no kids and I have nothing else to do all day sitting at home. So I just like to get sad, I guess. I don't know.
There you go. Well,
Matt, what did you get? You got out? What do you mean you got out?
I put it in a stable value fund. It's in cash sitting in my 401k. It's still in my 401k, but it's not, it's effectively like just in the dollar. So it's whatever value I pulled out is going to remain that value.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I almost did that when Maddie did, but then mm-hmm. I got that false bounce. I was like, ah, fuck it. And then I was an idiot.
Yeah, it was like a month ago. It was like when the market was down like 10%. I was like, nope, that's it. This is the fall. It's coming. I've seen it before. And I pulled it out.
Oh, so it was only a month ago you pulled out.
Whenever it was down like 10 or 15%, whenever that was. Maybe it was more than a month ago. But whenever that was, that's when I pulled out.
Oh.
I saw it coming.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the very top, but it was right before the big fall.
Yeah, Maddie did good. And see, I almost jumped out at that same point, and then I just, like, I told you. I don't know, just young, man.
Young, dumb, and know, full of somebody that's else's right. cum.
God damn, it's been a rough week.
The ink that was inside you. Got to get it checked.
The ink. Oh my God. It's true. I was like,
so what else we got, guys? Do we, are we going to wrap it here? I think we've rambled enough.
For so long, man. Yeah, I mean, I can keep rambling forever.
I know. I hope. Gone for so long. I hope people listen. We're probably not going to have any subscribers. People probably fucking deleted the feed.
I know. We were doing good for a while, dude. You were picking up steam, Maddie.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
All your fault, by the way. As everyone knows, I have no obligations in life. I have no commitments.
That's very
I really
true.
Got nothing going on most of the time. So, if there's ever a hold up, it's you.
I will say that. So I tweeted out that we were recording for the first time in forever. The only people that liked it, well, this is from my retweet at least. So shout out Theodore, crowdfunded government. And I don't know who this is at Cold Brew My Ash 1. Let me go check the other account.
Cold Brew My Ass?
Ash, A-S-H-E,
oh, Mike,
1. It. Yeah, that's it.
That's what he was going for.
And then Mikey, which he's on the podcast. And then Ghost.
I have to like it.
Ghost. Of Rebelli 1, like Ghost of Rebellion. That's it. And it's only people, so we'll see who still downloads this thing whenever it fucking gets edited and published. But
well,
I'm glad to be back. I know you were listening because you kept fucking tweeting that account like, hey, you guys, hey. Like it's like that fucking meme with the guy poking the thing. Hey, do something. Hey,
yeah.
Do something.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say this. You guys, like, okay, I have an ungodly list of podcasts.
Yeah.
And Erase the State is third behind the two hardcore history podcasts.
Oh, man. So we are like the number one liberty-related podcast in your feed.
Well, you're the number one liberty. I'm talking about, no, as far as if we're going in reverse order of who has released most recently.
Oh. It's I thought you were ranking your favorites.
No.
Oh no, you guys are way down there.
Yeah. It's hardcore history and then it's you.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, we're not putting out a 4-hour long, you know, podcast this time, so unfortunately.
We could. It would just
yeah,
be
we could.
Really belligerent. Okay, I'm down for that. I mean, fuck it. I know what pump and dump means. I've been burned so many times, so we can do that.
Well, after your wife has the baby, you're really going to know what pump and dump means after y'all go out for a night of drinking.
Dude, it's the only good thing is having the DD. It is awesome.
So yeah, I want to wrap it because I got some other shit I got to take care of, like more alcohol to drink.
And play Fortnite with me.
Yeah, I got to play Fortnite.
This entire time, by the way.
I got to play Fortnite.
Oh, stop recording and let's just fucking hang out. I got nothing. Look at this.
I know.
I have an empty house.
You're home alone.
Somebody love me.
Well, so, but we might have an announcement because Mikey can't plug anything because he's here. Unless, I don't know, Mikey, do you have anything to plug? Anything you want to talk about? That's a
well,
no.
I mean,
big sigh means no.
I did. No, I just said there's this fucking like 12-year-old kicking my ass right now and I'm trying to
get You're him. Playing Fortnite right now.
I've been playing it this entire time. You didn't know that?
Zero respect. No, I'm looking at a fucking picture of your ceiling. Because your phone is laying on the table.
Yeah, no, it's on my shoulder.
Oh my God.
It's on your shoulder.
Dude, I have Fortnited this entire... That's why I was quiet for like 15 minutes. So... I was letting y'all go. It's because I had to kill these motherfuckers. Ah, God damn it.
All right.
I'm dead.
Well, if you want to play Fortnite with me and Mikey Two Names, just DM us and we'll add you. So, Mr. Pryors, do you have an announcement that you want to make? Maybe? Radio silence.
You're about to abandon me.
What do you mean I'm going to abandon you?
You're going to leave and go play Fortnite.
Well, I might not if your announcement is the announcement. I mean, we could just roll this into what we're going to do. Yeah, but I want to restart. I want to restart my computer.
What's happening? I'm scared.
Mikey, you can come too. Just say it.
What are y'all doing?
Say it. Whiskey, Pryors.
The Jerk Circle Podcast.
Oh, it's coming, dude. It's coming. I feel it. So we've been tossing this idea around for the better part of a year, right?
Yeah,
something
easily,
like that.
Easily.
I don't know how you would describe
what our podcast would be like, but you and I tend to have these three hour long open source phone calls that turn into drunken guitar sessions and piss both of our wives off, I think, probably to a certain extent, just like when we used to live in the same neighborhood. Things never changed. It just moved to the phone. So, we might come out with a alcohol-fueled podcast with guitar playing and shit-shooting called The Jerk Circle. Trademark. So nobody take that Twitter account, please.
That's actually pretty badass. You can take like 20 topics, put them on a fucking like spin wheel, and get drunk and just spin the wheel, whatever it lands on each time, you have to talk about it.
I think it's going to be like Legion of Skanks, but around, better.
Well, yeah, if you've ever been around me or Matt at a party, we end up forming the Jerk Circle anyway.
Yeah.
It's usually like right near where the wet bar is.
Yeah.
And people come in and out of our conversations and walk away looking backwards, wondering what the fuck we were just talking about.
Yeah, and regretting their decision to walk over there and refill their drink.
Dude, that's awesome, man. I hope y'all do it. I'll provide young, dumb millennial commentary if you ever need me.
That's perfect.
All the better. I need as much culture as I can get.
Confirm.
Like, for my generation, uncultured, I'm really heathen. Fucking out of the box.
No, no, you're not. You're a fucking anime-watching fucking typical millennial, dude.
Yeah, I love comic books. I love all that shit. But I'm big into weightlifting, so anyone that used to make fun of me, I just beat the fuck out of them. It's been awesome living at both sides of the fence.
I make fun of you, and you really beat the fuck out of me.
Because, you know.
Because you respect your elders.
That's true. I was taught that in COC. Church cries.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, oh, shit. I fell off my desk here. I don't know if you guys can see this on the camera, but I'm in my typical work position that I spend 6 hours a day in with my feet up on the chair, my nice leather, thick leather chair.
Is that where you work?
Yeah. This is the office, dude. I'm in the office. Mike is on his jack and couch.
Oh, did you do... Did you do the wall?
What? No, some poor old man did the wall.
No, whoa, I helped the guy do it.
No, you didn't. I watched him put that up.
No, man, I kind of helped.
All you did was hold shit for him. Hey, you were like a kid helping his dad fix the car holding the flashlight. Learning all the cuss words.
Mikey, fuck!
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I paid this guy to do it, and I told him, I want you to teach me, too. And
you're in like my light.
I told you to hold the fucking light, not block it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Matt, all the bedrooms upstairs, I put wood floors in them, like, last week as well. And I was like, all right, dude, I'm going to pay you to do it. I want you to teach me, too.
Are they still wavy?
Like 5 minutes.
Are they still wavy?
No, they're all done, bro.
I haven't been upstairs in a while.
Dude, you got to come check it out. It's cool.
Just because every time I come over, it's just you and me and Brother Rock, and we just hang out downstairs.
Oh, dude, you know what? He would love Brother Rock. Brother Rock is on a whole nother world of living. We had a drink guitar session. Oh, dude, I'll send the videos to everybody. I got some awesome videos of Brother Rock, like, banging a bongo, just singing his heart out, and Matt playing guitar.
It was wild.
He made a song called Coronavirus.
Yes.
Oh, no. You actually got Matt to play guitar?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude. Him and Rick. Matt brought his guitar over. They were.
But I was right. I was right to that point though, where I'd had too much to drink. Like, I wasn't drunk, but I was inebriated enough that I couldn't remember anything. So every song became, oh shit, I got it on my phone.
Oh
yeah.
You know the song.
There
you go.
You gotta, Matt. Yeah, you gotta. I guess I can just put it on Twitter. I don't know how to use fucking Twitter, dude. I'm not a big social media.
Don't
person
don't put weird. My don't put my video on Twitter, please.
No, I was gonna send it. I was gonna DM it to Whiskey.
Oh, that's fine.
It's fucking good, bro. I like it.
So, all right. Well, let's just end this shit here, and then, Mr. Pryors, if you'd like, we can all hang on again, and I don't know what fuck. It's late. Maybe we can do it tomorrow. You want to do it tomorrow? You're home alone. What the fuck are you doing? You're home alone.
completely home alone.
So let's do it tomorrow. Jerk Circle convenes tomorrow.
My wife works tomorrow night as well. So
perfect.
Like,
this is perfect. All right. So that's a plan. That's a plan. Everybody who listens to this show will need to then subscribe to the Jerk Circle. Going to be great. It's going to be fucking awesome. So anyway, y'all know what to do. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your dog, tell Nala, tell Mike's fucked up hair over there.
Hell yeah, bro. I need a fucking haircut.
Tell your neighbor, but don't get too close to him. We need some more listeners. And what a great time to do it. And everybody's stuck in their house, self-quarantining because the government told them to. We'll catch y'all the next time we record. Peace. Cross a 57 Chevy with a hillbilly band. Had a little honky-tonk filled with one-night stands. Take a tailhelm on fire with a gonzo steel. Dark house space just to seal the deal. Yeah, top 40 country, better watch your back, 'cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.